So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and loving God, we thank thee that thou art our God. We thank thee that we may talk with thee, that the windows of communication are always open. The windows of blessings are open for us. We know that there is still that veil between heaven and earth, but one day to be completely moved so that we may have total access to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that opportunity to have eternal life through our Lord Jesus. So now we pray that the Holy Spirit be with us and to guide us as we look at Noah the man and how God chose him and his family. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, Noah, 10th generation from Adam. A couple of his relatives didn't live to be 900, but most of them lived over 900 years. The one that lived 895, his father only lived 707. Noah lived 950 years. And he was true to God. I got this material from the Ministerial Association. And as I said, we'll look at the man next time at the ark. And almost everyone knows about Noah in the ark. You see that? Knows about the animals taking and building the ark, taking the animals into the ark and being saved. They know about the flood. But then there are many that do reject it even today. And there are right reasons for learning from this story of Noah and his family. And basically, there's two ways to approach telling about it there. It is to focus on the controversial issues first. What was the extent of the flood? Did the flood really cover the entire earth? And there's controversy of that. I saw my other Bible words that I couldn't even pronounce, and that no, that part of it, the world was covered and the other part wasn't, and all this and that there. How large was the ark? I did have 6 trees at home. I only have one left now, but it's 65 foot high. And this peak here in the sanctuary, between 28 and 38 feet high, such a matter. The length of the ark, 450 feet. The width, 75 feet. Height, 45 feet. Other places in our commentary says it was 515 feet, 86 feet, 52 feet. How did Noah get all the animals into the ark? Yes, these are controversial elements. We also look at the real message it has given us through God's word. We don't want to miss the main spiritual lessons that we can derive from this, that God wants us to learn. And we can inquire about the civilization that perished. But our main emphasis on the family, on one man in the family that was saved and survived it. And the man who built the ark. Why did God choose Noah and his family? Just as why did he choose Abraham? Why did he choose Israel? That was his prerogative. Noah was instructed on how to build the ark. Just as Moses was told by God how to build the Ark of the Covenant and the sanctuary to house it in. So we know that most of it is in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, with chapter 10 telling of Noah's family and descendants. So we're mostly going to focus in chapter 6 here. We're given a number of important facts about Noah. As we look at these facts, we can see why he and his family was saved and survived that flood, while the rest of the human civilization perished. In building the ark, he must have had help from his family, from his father, from Methuselah, his grandfather, so forth. And none were saved, though. In a book commentary says that they were laid to sleep before the flood came. Verse 9 here in chapter 6 tells us that Noah was a godly man. Believed in God, took his word seriously. He believed God. His faith was counted as righteousness for him. His faith helped him to live the lifestyle so different from the rest of the world at that time that he almost seemed blameless in comparison. Noah walked with God. He knew him intimately. He knew God and walked with him on a daily basis. I don't know, I was told once that you can only know of God, you can't know him. But I have to differ with that. For I pray that I do know God, for he knows me. And it was a high honor for Noah and for Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. These are the only two men that the Bible says that walked with God. So what a privilege to do that. Verse 10 tells us that he was a family man. He had a wife, three sons, and each one of them was married. Noah was the head of the household, and he was the spiritual leader of his wife, his sons, and his daughters-in-law. And they listened to him. There's many a time that over the years that I've not been able to even have my family listen to me. Noah was also a unique man, as we see in verses 11 and 12. And these verses emphasizes the contrast between Noah and his generation. We know that the word corrupt means rotten, putrid, or utterly foul. This was Noah's world in his final stages of moral decomposing. The men and women of that time had fallen into a deep pit of violence, murder, dishonesty, and very ugly expressions of the depravity of the human heart. Sounds like today, doesn't it? The world that we live in now. And amidst the darkness of those days, Noah stood out as a bright light, pure in an unrighteous world because he was righteous. The world at that time had dismissed God, and it was only about 1,600 years old. But Noah walked with God. He stood alone, believing God, as he built the ark. And then he even received much abuse from his peers. He was obedient. He was confident that God could be trusted and that flood would someday come. Genesis 6:22, if we look at that verse, 6:22. Oops. Okay. Nice. And thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. This verse comes immediately after God told him how to build the ark. Two things are told in this verse. Yeah. His obedience was complete. He did everything the Lord said, Lord commanded him to do. And his obedience was absolute. He did everything as the Lord commanded him to do. We pray that we can do that also. To be obedient in everything with our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we won't look to there, but Kevin used that one last week. That fact is implied in Genesis 6, and it's stated explicitly in 2 Peter 2, 5. He was a preacher of righteousness throughout that whole time. He just wasn't a person that could build a boat, an enormous boat, because that's about what it was. No curves on it, no nothing, no steering oars or nothing on this boat. And yet, Noah and his family and the animals withstood it for almost a year. And he wasn't just a godly man that let his life speak for him. I wonder if we are living today so that our life will speak for us. During the 120 years before the flood, Noah building the ark, warned about the judgment to come, even asked his family to join him in the ark, as we know that only 7 people joined him. No one seemed to listen to him at that time. Maybe too busy to pay attention. Because in all that time it had never rained. The water, the dew for the earth come from the ground. From the dew of the morning. So they didn't listen. And so why should they take Noah seriously? Than that. We probably wouldn't today if somebody would have told us that. But yet today we know these things can happen. To his contemporaries, it was like those people who preach on the street corners. We don't hear that very much today, but it was, you know, several years ago that was. But it's always easier to just walk by instead of stopping and listening. In Jesus, we know in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 49, that Jesus compared the days of Noah to the days just preceding his second coming. As it was then, so shall it be again. The past is the key to the future. I pray that we know that. We read the Word of God, and we can know what the future is. To know for certainty that one day we're going to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. To spend eternity ever learning the plan of redemption. You know, it's kind of impossible to fathom that. You know, as it said, 10,000 years and 10,000 years. Still learning. Still growing closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Noah saved his own family. How did he manage to do that from such a negative environment? Because it was utterly foul. Hebrews 11, verse 7 gives us the answer to that. And if we quickly turn there, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here it is. There's more. You can see 4 smaller statements there. He believed what God said. He built an ark to save his family. He rejected the corruption of the world. And he and his family was delivered from destruction. And here's a message for all of us. to be a righteous man, to have that faith in our God. God counts us as righteous as we have given our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the calling of the Holy Spirit. His faith saved his entire family. One another thing that we can look at is not one word has ever been said about Noah's wife, nor the faith of his sons and daughters-in-law. But they must have had some faith. They followed him into the ark. None of his extended family did. We don't know how much his family's faith they had, but they had some. They had faith to follow the head of the family. Noah had enough faith to inspire all of them to join him in the ark. And that's the power of a godly leader. So we look at Noah in his life, and God having him build the ark to save a portion of the people at that time to start a new life after the flood. Through that, Adam was a godly man in an ungodly age, a bright light in that time of darkness. Because he had character and he obeyed God when the world thought he was crazy, and they did in building that ark. But he ended up leading his own family to safety. We know that God blessed him, just as God blesses anyone who follows in our Lord's steps. I don't really say that there should be no complaining of how hard things are, no excuses how evil the world is, there has become. But yet, I believe that's hard to do, because some things will hit us, and we just, may lose our temper or what, but it does give us sadness to see how the world is today, to know that we are in it, we are part of it. Well, we pray that our part is not following the ways of the world. We need to be a people of character and conviction. We have to be convicted of the Word of God so that it may change our lives for the better. To take a stand for that Word in our daily lives. Don't worry about what the world thinks about us. All the negative things that is said about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We can get through it, for our God is with us. You may save yourself, and by God's grace, you may save your family and many others. And I pray that we are able to do that, to bring others unto the Lord. We won't know how many we have until we get to heaven, where we've ever been able to put that bug in their ear, where that they may learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many stars we're going to have on our crowns, we won't be worrying about that when we get there. Some will have many, some will have few. But we know, Father, that our Father is with us and that will help us to get through it. So with a surety, let us pray that each one of us will reach heaven and that we may live together forever. Our gracious God, we pray and thank thee for giving us faith. We pray and thank thee that our faith may grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of him crucified. And as with Paul, Jesus is Christ. And may we give it to the world, to give it to the ones that are around us, no matter what. to live the life that we need to in front of our family that may not believe in living the life of Christ. Others that we come in contact with, our friends, our co-workers, all to live the life so that Christ is in us and that we are able to show it to the world. We thank thee, Father, for without that power from on high, without the Holy Spirit, we know that we cannot do that. So we just pray as we go our separate ways today that we will reflect Jesus Christ in our lives this week. We pray and ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.